Okay, I think I want to just I want to start out Father's Day, since this is Father's Day. I want to kind of get us in the mood for Father's Day. So I got a little video to show you, and I hope it shows up. Hey kids, Mom needs more help inside.
Hey, how many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh.
Mr. Clamps has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
Goodbye, Mr. Clamps.
No!
All right, just slow down a little
Dad,
bit.
Dad, stop yelling at me!
I don't think that's... Oh! Okay. All right, and that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees.
Down the phone!
Yeah. I am so proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow!
No! Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful. Inside and out.
Whatever. Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future, this right here goes to you, and this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
Such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
He just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you. One, two, three! Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job. And make clouds all day?
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, What's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
Actually, that little video is humorous, but it contains most of the points that we're going to cover today from the book of Deuteronomy on how to be a good father. You know, God has a promotion system. I don't know if, I'm sure all of you are aware of it. He starts us out by gifting us some kids. And they are a gift, whether you at times think they are or not, they are a gift. And because of that gift, we become fathers. And so after a while, we have a promotion in line for us. We get to be called grandfathers. And as that goes well, time proceeds, we get another promotion to being a great grandfather. And some of you maybe even have gotten another promotion to be a great great grandfather. It's an honor. It's an honor to be a father, raising your kids to know God. And I wanted to just share a couple of things this morning. First of all, just because I went to a church one time, and the preacher got up and he raked us fathers over the coals. Because we didn't do it right. We weren't doing what we were supposed to do. And I walked out of there feeling really bad. And I said, I will never do that. I will never on Father's Day give a message that's sad. Give a message that the fathers think that they didn't do a very good job. So I wanted to add a little humor to the message today. So this is what a child sees, as written by some of the fathers, by some fathers. First of all, first father writes, I was driving with my three young children on one warm summer evening when a woman in the convertible ahead of us stood up and waved. She was stark naked. As I was reeling from the shock and the thousand questions that I knew were forming in my child's mind, and how I was going to answer those questions, my five-year-old pipes up in the back seat and says, Dad, and I knew it was coming, Dad, that lady isn't wearing a seatbelt. My son Zachary came screaming out of the bedroom to tell me he'd dropped his toothbrush in the toilet. So I fished it out and threw it in the garbage. Zachary stood there thinking for a moment, then ran back to the bathroom and came out with my toothbrush. He held it up and said with a charming little smile, we better throw this one away too, Dad. It fell in the toilet a few days ago. Now some of you maybe this one you can really identify with. On the first day of school, a first grader handed his teacher a note from his dad. The note read, the opinions expressed by this child are not necessarily those of his parents. Yeah, apparently that's happened, huh? A dad was trying to get ketchup to come out of the bottle. And during his struggle, the phone rang. So he asked his daughter, four-year-old daughter, to answer the phone. It's the minister, Daddy, the child said to her. Then she added without hesitation, Daddy can't come to the phone to talk to you right now. He's hitting the bottle. While working for an organization that delivers lunches to elderly shut-ins, I used to take my four-year-old daughter on afternoon rounds. The various appliances of old age, particularly the canes, walkers, wheelchairs, unfailingly intrigued her. One day I found her staring at a pair of false teeth soaking in a glass. As I braced myself for the inevitable barrage of questions, she merely turned and whispered to me, the tooth fairy's never going to believe this. Little boy opened his big family Bible. He was fascinated as he fingered through the old pages. Suddenly something fell out of the Bible. He picked up the object and looked at it. What he saw was an old leaf that had been pressed between the pages. "Daddy, look what I found," the boy called. "What have you got there, son?" With astonishment in the young boy's voice, he answered, "I think it's Adam's underwear." Perhaps you can identify with Irma Bombeck. Bombeck, I never say that right. She wrote, "I remember very well how I got all my children, but for the life of me, I can't remember why. I think it may have been a 4-H project gone bad." Seriously, the home is without question the single most important influence in a child's life. And I know many of you here homeschool. We homeschooled our grandson from 4 years old all the way up to high school. And I see now the influence we had on him all those years. And I know those of you who homeschool now see that same thing too. The home is just the most important influence in a child's life. We must come to grips with the fact that fathering is not something we can do in our spare time. We can't just donate just whatever spare time we have left to our kids when the golf course is full or the fishing is bad. Our kids deserve more. So if you'll take out your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to share with you what the Word of God says about being a father. We see in these verses God instructing Moses. Moses is telling the nation of Israel how to prepare for a new generation in the Promised Land. And so God is instructing Moses, and Moses is instructing the people how to raise your kids, become a new generation that believes in God. Moses points out the importance of the home in teaching God's people obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I would really like it if you don't have a marker, or just put a square around. I know some of you don't mark in your Bibles. I do. I mark all over my Bible because I want to be able to go back to certain passages. That is the key to raising our kids. If you don't get anything else out of today's message, I want you to understand, turn to this in the Word of God and learn what God wants you to do to raise your kids. Dr. Charles Swindoll put it this way in his book, Home, Where Life Makes Up Its Mind. "Whatever else may be said about the home, it is the bottom line of life, the cutting board upon which attitudes and convictions are carved out. It is the place where life's bills come due, the single most influential force in our earthly existence. No price tag can adequately reflect its values. No gauge can measure its ultimate influence, for good or ill. It is at home, among family members, that we must come to terms with circumstances. It is here where life makes up its mind." Even though today's message is primarily a Father's Day message, I want you to understand that I think the truths that we learned from Deuteronomy, from Moses when he was teaching the nation of Israel how to do things, I believe those apply also equally to mothers, to single parents, and to those who long to have a significant ministry in the lives of others. And so, moms, you can't just get up and leave today because it's a Father's Day message. I want you to just learn from what God has for you, too. Since we believe that God established the first human family, and we do, don't we? We didn't evolve out of some mud hole somewhere. Came from God. He established us. He created us. And since we believe that, perhaps we should turn to the real instruction manual for insights and instruction. If he's the one that made us, then when he teaches us, it should be real and the truth, right? Today I want to share three primary biblical principles for fathering and parenting. The first principle, fathering must be relational. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We must have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we don't have the right relationship with our Heavenly Father, we cannot expect to have a good relationship with our wife. If we don't have the right relationship with our Heavenly Father, we can't expect to have a good relationship with our kids. Listen to that again. Listen to what it says. Love the Lord your God. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That means we have to put God number one in our lives. Yes, we put God even ahead of our wife. We put God even ahead of our kids. Because if we don't have that right relationship with God, we can't expect to have a right relationship with the rest of our family. It all comes from God through the fathers. Harmon Killebrew, the great baseball player of yesterday, tells in his autobiography about growing up in a home with four boys. How many here remember Harmon Killebrew? Oh, you're telling your age. Harmon Killebrew, he says that on one occasion his father was out in the front yard playing baseball with the boys, and a neighbor walked by and said, Mr. Killebrew, if you keep playing baseball on your front lawn, you won't have any grass left in your yard. Mr. Killebrew said, Sir, I'm not raising grass. I'm raising kids. What a profound statement that is. How often we put worldly things ahead of our kids. I'm one of those. I'm still learning. I've had two promotions, and I'm still learning how to deal with my grandkids and my great-grandkids. I believe that respect for our children leads to obedience from them. Honor and respect is earned as much as it is given. You see, dads, I don't think we can build confidence, provide instruction, develop discipline, and enjoy intimacy if we are AWOL from God and our God-given responsibility. Love the Lord your God with your whole being. Put him first in your life. Someone has written this insight on how children view their dads. This is me. I could have written this. Maybe some of you could have too. But I want you to just listen. At 4 years old, this is how the children view their dad. At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. My daddy can punch your daddy out. At 7 years old, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. At 8 years old, my father doesn't quite know everything. Now we're getting to be a teenager. At 12 years old, oh well, naturally father doesn't know everything. At 14 years old, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21 years, oh, that man is out of date. What did you expect? At 25 years, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. At 30 years old, must find out what dad thinks about it. At 35 years old, a little patience. Let's get dad's meaning first. at 40 years old. What would Dad have thought about it? At 50 years. My dad knew literally everything. At 60 years, I wish I could talk it over with Dad once more. Which brings us to the second biblical principle, which is accept the responsibility that the home is where the flag of truth is passed on. Look at verses 6 and 7, first part of 7. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house. It's in the home that our kids learn what's right. It's in the world where our kids learn what's wrong. The home is so important. According to the Bible, primary responsibility for passing on godly principles rests on fathers. Truth is to pass from generation to generation in a perpetual relay. I can tell you that I'm standing here today because of my father. Now, I have to admit, there were many days in church where I was taken out and given an attitude adjustment. There were many days I hated going to church. I did not like go to church. But my dad never gave me the option. We went to church. We sat in the pews. I didn't understand a thing the pastor was saying. I was bored to death. I wrote on the little tablets that were there. Sometimes the blank envelopes were in the pew. I did all that because I would crinkle up paper to make noise, and my dad would grab me and take me out. But through it all, I came to know Jesus Christ. Because my dad was not compromising when it came to know God. Truth is to pass from generation to generation in a perpetual relay. This takes time and is thought. It's not done by osmosis. There is no easy push-button method of teaching your children about God, nor is there any smooth, undisturbed section of time in which to do it. What God put in Deuteronomy chapter 6 cannot be improved upon as to when we do this. We are to do this in the normal activities of our day, at mealtimes, bedtimes. This means that time is meant to be spent together. Just like in that video. That's the way we are to do it. It doesn't always mean that we have to spend hours, but we have to spend quality time. Now let me say that it is not our failure as parents that hurts our children. Some of you may be sitting there and saying, man, I must have been a real failure as a parent. It wasn't your failures, but your hypocrisy. We must share our weaknesses as well as our strengths with our children. We must be able to laugh at ourselves, and our children will be drawn closer to us. The old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. Kids are very observant. I'm so impressed sometimes by my great-grandson, what he observes and what he picks up. Sometimes they wish he wouldn't pick up quite so much. But he does. There are no guarantees in parenting, but if you give of yourself, you will never have to second guess yourself. We always hear that old saying is, do as we say, not as we do. But the saying should be, do as we do and do as and say as we do. A man came home from work and saw a neighbor out in his backyard playing ball with his daughter. He knew the man had a hard job, a laborer's job. He called to his friend and said, Jim, you ought not to be doing that. You're going to get a backache and then you won't be able to go to work. To which the neighbor responded, oh yes, maybe. But I'd rather have a backache now than a heartache later. There's a lot of wisdom to that response. We should be participants in our child's life and not spectators. We must know them in playtime, at study time, bedtime, mealtime, family time, and worship time. If we come to know them, then the reverse is true. They will come to know us. Finally, develop a reverence for God. Look at the last part of verse 7 and to verse 9. When you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. To develop a reverence for God, we must walk daily with Him. We must be constantly in His Word. It kind of reminds me, a friend of mine, well, he's the pastor of the church that I came from. He told me, he says, I named my bed the Word. He said, that way when people ask me what I'm doing, I say, I'm in the Word. Spends a lot of time in the Word. We must constantly be in His Word so He can talk to us. You know, people sometimes ask me, say, you know, God never talks to me. I never hear from God. And I said, well, when's the last time you picked up His Word? Because that's how He talks to you. He wrote this so that we would have His words for us. He talks to us every time we pick this up. He talks to us. Maybe you don't hear His voice, but He talks to you as in reality as well. We must constantly be in prayer. Our kids need to see that God is the most important thing in our life. Our kids need to see us pray. Gosh, guys, I think one of the hardest things for you guys, not me, because I'm not macho, but for you guys, don't ask my wife, okay? One of the hardest things for us as men to do is get on our knees. Sometimes we view that as a sign of weakness when we get down on our knees, but you know what? That's a sign of strength. When you're on your knees talking to God and your kids see you on your knees talking to God, they begin to believe that God's important and that you're in touch with Him. Praying is important. Many of you know about Dr. James Dobson and his program and ministry Focus on the Family. However, it's not always been that way for him. For many years, his focus was on his career and success, not his wife and children. He was really climbing the ladder of success as he taught at the USC School of Medicine and was chief of staff at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. However, his own father was less impressed and wrote him this letter. Your daughter, Danae, is growing up in the wickedest section of the world, much farther gone into moral decline than the world into which you were born. I have observed that the greatest delusion is to suppose that our children will be devout Christians simply because their parents have been, or that any of them will enter into the Christian faith in any other way than through their parents' deep travail of prayer and faith. But this prayer demands the time that cannot be given. It is all signed and conscripted and laid on the altar of career ambition. Failure for you at this point would make more a mere success in your occupation a very pale and washed out affair indeed. These words convicted him and changed the entire focus of his life. Let me close with this one last story. Four ministers were talking one day about translations of the Bible. One said, I like the King James Version best. The beauty of the language and the rhythm of the cadence is unsurpassed. Another said, I like the Revised Standard Version because it is the closest to the actual Greek and Hebrew tongues. Another said, I like the New International Version because it is so easy to read. The fourth thought for a moment, and then he said, of all the translations, I think, I like my dad's best. One said, you mean your dad had translated the Bible? He said, oh yes. Every day he translated the Bible to me in his life of love, compassion, forgiveness, and sacrifice. Because of his translation, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, every time I, Father's Day, some father will come up and say to me, I was a terrible father. I didn't do very well. I failed my kids. If that happens to be one of you sitting here today, let me say this to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been forgiven by the shed blood of our Savior on the cross, God has forgotten. God does not hold that against you. He wants to lift you up and help you. Maybe become a better grandfather or a great grandfather. You see, there's always hope when you know God. You can't fail if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Happy Father's Day, dads. You deserve it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we join together right now, Lord, in prayer to you, I just lift up all the dads in this room, Lord, and ask that you would touch them with a sense of peace and joy and just knowing that maybe they did fail once or twice, but all things are made new by you. And so, Lord, we just stand and rejoice knowing that our Heavenly Father never made a mistake with us. And he was always there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.